Well, I have been told that God's grace is sufficient for Packers fans as well. So you're welcome to stay here, Tatiana. You can stay, I promise. We will not have you escorted. It's a fun time of year, isn't it? Some of you came in wearing garb. I know I need a new Vikings jersey. We'll get around to that someday. Kirk Cousins, I don't even know if Kirk Cousins is in the league anymore, but whatever, poor guy. So it's great to see you all just kind of celebrating with us as we kind of kick into the fall and lots of exciting things happening. Have you noticed recently that some things just have to be shared? Like you just can't help yourself. Right? Like when you watch that hilarious video on TikTok or Instagram, you're like, oh my gosh, so-and-so's got to see this, right? Or you go to the new restaurant and it just blows your mind and you think, man, I've got to tell somebody about this place. Before I even get to the parking lot, I'm texting a friend, you got to check this place out. We are actually wired to share good news. We want to share things that are good happening in our world or things that we see that are good. We do it with movies and shows. You'll come up to, have you seen that movie yet? Oh my gosh, you've got to see it, or that TV show. Or we do it with books. Or, you know, have you read the latest Colleen Hoover novel? Or we do it with sales, right? Like, did you know Amazon Prime Day is next week? Oh my gosh, get yourself ready. Yeah, we even do it with sports, right? Like we're like, oh, did you see that catch last night? Which, by the way, did anybody see the Blaze Alexander catch last night? Yeah, some of you saw it. Okay, if you're a Diamondbacks fan, go look it up. It's worth your time, right? Sharing comes naturally to us. We love to share, especially things that we're passionate about or things that we love in our lives when we are excited about things. But here's the question that Paul is going to raise in Romans chapter 8 as we finish off Romans chapter 10. The question he's going to raise is this: if grace really is the best news in the world, why is it sometimes the one thing we're most quiet about? Why? We'll share Netflix recommendations so we're blue in the face. We'll post about tacos on Instagram without hesitation. But when it comes to Jesus, and I know some of you feel it right now, we get kind of nervous. We get a little sheepish. We feel a little awkward. And Paul is going to push us today to remember this. The gospel isn't just personal. It's missional. It's not just for me. It's for we. Right? It's not just for my benefit. It is for the benefit of the entire world. And so to understand this, we're going to go back to the first part of Romans chapter 10, which DJ introduced us to last week. And at the beginning of chapter 10, Paul starts by talking about how Israel had been chasing God in all of the wrong ways. And they were sincere, but they were off track. They thought being made right with God was something you could earn or that you could somehow make your way to by following all of the rules or stacking up good deeds or proving yourself worthy to God. But Paul says that's not how this works. That's never how it's worked. Rightness with God, being made right with God, having a new relationship with God, isn't about us climbing some impossible ladder to heaven, but it's actually about what he has done by coming down to us. In verse 4, he says, Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. All those 613 laws that the Old Testament reveals to us and to the Israelites, Paul says, Christ accomplished all of that. And then in other words, he says, you need to stop striving to try to achieve God's grace in your life because Jesus finished that for you. And then Paul makes it actually really practical. And he says in Romans 10:9, he's like, if you want to be right with God, if you walked in the doors this morning and you're like, man, I want to know what it's like or what it takes to be connected with God, here's what Paul says. He says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You will be reconnected with your Creator. You will be made right with God. Not, that's it. Not, you know, you might be saved. Like, there's a chance. Not if you're good enough, you'll be saved. But you will be saved. There's no fine print. There's no secret handshake. It's just faith. You will be saved. And that's what's going to set up verse 11 through 21, where Paul begins our passage for today. So if you haven't done so yet, open up the YouVersion Bible app. Follow along with me as we go through Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 21. Here's the first three verses of this passage. Paul writes, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. He just kind of covered that. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. And when he says Jew and Gentile, I want you to think there are no barriers, okay? Not just two separate groups, but really what he's saying is all people, Israelite and everybody who's not Israelite, Jew and everybody who's not Jewish. Jew and Gentile are all same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so Paul starts this section with this bold promise. He says, as the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile, they're all the same. All people in this are in the same boat. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's some big words in there. Anyone and everyone and all people. So let me translate that. It's kind of like what DJ said last week. He is saying grace is within reach, no matter who you are. Nobody is excluded. Nobody is disqualified. Nobody's too far gone. Whatever baggage you brought in this morning, whatever sin you've been carrying with you, grace is within reach. You know, sometimes I think we behave or we believe that God's grace and those who are recipients of it is like a members-only club. Kind of like Costco, like you got to have the right card or something. You need the right credentials. You need the right background, but the right Sunday best again. But Paul says, no, that's not how this works. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, you do have to call on the name of the Lord. That is the one thing he says. It is not just walk in and assume like, oh, I'm good with God. He says, no, you need to call on the name of Jesus Christ. Call out to him as your Lord and Savior. The beauty of grace is that it's equally for the addict, the doubter, the religious hypocrite, the skeptic, the prodigal, the person who swore they'd never step foot in church again. Grace is within reach for everyone. But here's the tension that we're going to deal with today. The tension is this: how will people know that grace is within reach unless someone tells them? It's kind of like having a table full of food in one room while people are starving in the room next door and nobody has the guts to say, hey, why don't you come eat? Grace is available. It is within reach, but it is not obvious in our world. That's why Paul moves straight from the promise of salvation, this is for everyone, to the urgency of proclamation. The good news isn't just for us to hold on to, oh, isn't this, I've got this special thing, just Jesus and me. The good news is for us to share, like your tacos on Instagram. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, Paul writes, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Paul, he starts with these sort of rapid-fire questions, and you can sense this urgency in Paul as he asks these questions. How can somebody call on him to save them unless they believe in them? And how can they believe in them if they've never heard about them? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? I mean, he says faith comes from hearing the good news about Christ. And so you see the logic that Paul is running through. You've received this grace, and grace is within reach for all people, every person, all those people at work, all those people in your neighborhood. Grace is within reach for them. But people can't believe unless they hear. Grace is available. It's within reach, but it is not obvious. And people can't believe unless they hear. They can't hear unless someone tells them, and someone telling them requires them to use their words. There's an old adage, and it's been attributed to a couple of people, and I've heard it said, and I like it. And the adage goes like this: preach the gospel everywhere, use words when necessary. Now, I understand what's being said there. You got to live your life as if the gospel is true in your life. But it almost is like this cop-out to not use our words. Well, I'm just going to live this life, and then people will know. No, they won't. I mean, there might be some things that they might go, oh, well, that's interesting. But what Paul is saying, if you want someone in your life to know Jesus, you got to tell them. You actually have to say something to them. People share news all the time. We're great at it. You find the new pizza place. You tell all your friends. You might even, hey, you got to come with me. Let's go grab a piece of pizza. You find that Amazon deal and you're texting your mom or your dad. And you got to figure this out. Starbucks does a buy one, get one free deal. And suddenly Instagram is filled with caramel macchiatos, right? Like, we love to share this news. We live in a share culture. We share everything except sometimes that one thing that matters most. I mean, imagine if you discovered the cure for cancer and never told anyone because you didn't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. You didn't want to, it might be a little odd. That would be unthinkable, right? And yet, spiritually speaking, we know of and have experienced the cure for sin and eternal death. And yet sometimes, and I'll admit, I'm in this category too. Sometimes we stay silent because we don't want someone to feel uncomfortable. Or we're afraid of someone's response. Or maybe because we've already determined how they're going to respond, so we don't say anything. But here's the thing. Can we all just admit this morning that grace is too good to be quiet, to keep quiet? Grace is way too good to keep quiet. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're like, okay, Pastor Ryan, I get it. Grace is too good to keep quiet. The news must be shared with you. Here's the problem. That's not really me. I'm not really outgoing. I'm not trained. I don't really know even what to say. And I hear you. We've all felt that. I've felt that myself. But here's the thing. God never asked you to be or do any of those things. God never asked you to be trained. God never asked you to have all of the precise words. He never asked you to be outgoing. All he asked is for you to be, and this is the word the Bible uses, a witness. What does a witness do? They just tell what they've seen, heard, and experienced. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need a microphone. You don't need the perfect words. What you need is the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, which you have. And you need the willingness to actually talk about what you've seen, heard, and experienced through Jesus Christ. I mean, listen to the words of Jesus at the end of the book of Matthew and at the beginning of the book of Acts. This is shortly before he ascends to heaven and sends out his first followers. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Notice he doesn't say, go to seminary, and then when you're finished, I want you to start a church. No, he just says, go. Just go do it. You have everything you need living in you right now. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Not you might be, or if you get around to it, you know, something might change. He says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I mean, he didn't say, be my witnesses if you feel gifted. He didn't say the extroverts and the pastors, they're going to be the witnesses. All the rest of you are just along for the ride. He said, you, all of you, all of us, be my witness. Tell people what you've seen, heard, and experienced. That's it. And that word he uses there, witness, is important because witnesses, they don't make up stories. They just tell the people, this is what I've seen. This is what I've heard. This is what I have experienced. That's it. Right? If you are a courtroom witness and a judge said to you, tell us what you saw, you wouldn't reply, well, you know, Judge, I didn't go to law school, so I can't really tell you what I saw. You would just tell your story. Here's what I saw. Here's what happened. I was there. I saw it. This is what happened. And you don't need a theology degree to tell your story. You just need to say, this is what Jesus has done in my life. This is how he's changed me, and this is why I follow him. By the way, just a real quick side tangent. If you're like, man, I need to think about that, Rooted is the perfect place to explore that, to figure out how is it that I can be a witness. In fact, part of the entire study is figuring out, how do I tell my story about what Jesus has done in my life? This is all a witness does. And you already have everything you need. This is what Paul is trying to encourage in the church in Rome and in us. He wants us to have the courage to simply tell people what we know and have experienced in Jesus. I want you to ask yourself this hard question. When is the last time you told somebody what Jesus has done in your life? When is the last time you had a conversation, a small one even, to let somebody know, man, let me tell you about Jesus? Here's the thing. I want to make it even easier than that potentially for you. Because a simple way to live this out in life is to extend a simple invitation to a friend or a coworker or a family member to church on a Sunday. I tell you what, you don't even have to tell them about Jesus. Not right out of the gate. You can just say, hey, you know, the things this has changed my life, why don't you come with me? I'll tell them about Jesus, okay? Don't worry about that. I think you've all been here long enough, you know, Ryan will tell them about Jesus. But just invite them to church. There's statistics out there that 80-some% of people, well, if they're not Christians, if someone just invites them, they'll come to church. I'll check it out. And doing that, you could be a witness to say, look what God is doing. Look at what he's done in my life. In fact, next week, you may have seen there's a poster out there. Next week, we're starting a brand new series called Peace of Mind. And it's a great series to invite your friends and your neighbors to. We're going to tackle some really practical stuff. I'm going to talk about that more in a little bit. But I want to go back to our passage because Paul takes it one step further and he reminds us of something as we consider our role, our responsibility in sharing our faith. He reminds us that, by the way, you're here today because somebody shared this with you. Look, the good news of Jesus has been going out for thousands of years, long before you ever heard it. Genesis Church exists right here because we have benefited from other people gone before us who have said, I will not keep this to myself. Grace is too good to be quiet. I will not keep it to myself. And to make this point, he reaches all the way back in the Old Testament, pulling from the words of Moses. And I want you to hear what Paul says, because he's saying, listen, the good news has been going out about Jesus since the beginning of time. And you sit here today, a beneficiary of that. Verse 18, but I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I ask, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. And later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long, I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious. And here's what Paul's saying. The message of God has been going out since the very beginning. It's been going out through creation, through the prophets, through history, through Jesus, and through the church. God has been speaking, and the question has never been, is God getting the word out? Is the good news still available? The real question is anybody listening, and is anybody using their words to tell somebody about it? And yeah, look, Paul points out, some will reject it, some won't listen, some will ignore it, some will resist. That's okay. That's true of everything, isn't it? Paul even says Israel, of all people, struggled to hear what God was saying. And I know that can be discouraging because it reminds us that not everyone is going to respond when we share. But instead of just letting that shut us down, Paul reminds us that the message, it doesn't matter, still got to go out. Yeah, somebody's going to go, no, I don't want to go to church with you. That's okay. Doesn't mean you have to stop being friends. Maybe ask again in a couple months. Paul reminds us that the message has to go out. The invitation you make, it always matters. Your witness matters. Your words matter with this. Because, and I want you to hear this morning, there are people in your life who are just one conversation away from hope. One invitation away from a new beginning. One, hey, will you come and sit with me at church this Sunday away from stepping and receiving the grace that's within reach for them? And for whatever reason, and I think it's because God loves us, he has chosen us to be the people who tell them about it. So here's my challenge to you this morning. I don't want you to overcomplicate this. Some of you are overcomplicators. You know who you are. You don't need a 3-point sermon. You don't need to memorize the Romans Road. You just need words. You just need to be a witness. You just need to extend an invitation, to send a text, to make the invite, to tell your story, because grace is too good to keep quiet. And because God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, wants to use your words to see the next person saved. Your words are more powerful than you think. Way more powerful than you think. God could use your words to literally change someone's eternity. That's not preacher talk. That's like Paul's logic in Romans chapter 10. That's God's word. People call on Jesus when they believe, and they believe when they hear, and they hear because someone had the courage to say something. So yes, it might feel a little awkward to, you know, invite the neighbor or coworker. It might be a little uncomfortable to just bring up Jesus in a conversation casually. And by the way, just time out. Don't be weird. Just don't be weird. I don't know why we've gotten so weird about this, but people have gotten weird about, you know, talking about Jesus. Just tell people, don't use Bible language. Don't get all Christian. Like, these are real people with real problems who need real saving. Just, you know, when you're over lunch, like, hey man, like, I love my church. You want to come with me? Don't give them a sermon. Don't make it. Just don't be weird. Can we promise? Pinky promise. You won't be weird. Okay. Thank you. And here's the really good thing about all of this. You're not alone when you do this. God is not sending you out, you know, a lone wolf. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, and I am with you always. You are not alone in that conversation. The Spirit of God is with you. He is right there among you, which means when you text that friend to invite them, you're not just sending a message, you're actually planting a seed that God can start to water in their life. When you tell your story, it's not just your voice, it's actually the Spirit's voice working through you. So here's my challenge to you this week. I just want you to pick one person in your life that you know, man, I would love for them to hear about Jesus. And yeah, maybe you can have that conversation with him, but it might be just as simple to send them a text or to just simply invite them to church next week. Because as I mentioned earlier, we are going to be kicking off this new series called Peace of Mind. And we're going to be tackling how we can be people that find calm in our minds in a very chaotic world. And I am telling you right now, your friends need peace of mind. They need hope in their own hearts and in their own minds. And we're going to talk next week about one of the greatest struggles of all of life, worry and anxiety. Some of you are like, yeah, can we talk about that now? No, we're going to come back next week. So on your way out, I want you, a couple of our greeters will be there. I want you to grab a couple of these invites. Take them with you this week. First of all, be here next week because it's going to be a great series, but also maybe hand this out to a friend and say, hey, just check this out. You know, I'll be there. Figure out a way to connect with them while they're here. Invite them to come back to church next week. Because here's what I believe. I strongly believe this. Somebody's life could look different next Sunday because of the invitation you extend. It's that simple. Someone's eternity could be changed simply because you chose to use your words this week. So let's not be silent. Let's not keep the best news in the world to ourselves because grace is too good to keep quiet. Let's pray. Father, I admit that this is challenging. None of us like to be rejected. We don't want to make things awkward. It's hard. It can feel uncomfortable. And yet, Lord, man, you are working in people's lives. You are working in our lives. And so I just pray courage in all of us this week as we go to our respective worlds, that we would have the courage to invite someone. We'd have the courage to send the text, to have the quick conversation, to hand out the invite. That people would come into this place, that they would experience your grace, that they would say that they would see that grace is definitely within reach for them through Jesus Christ, that they would begin to understand that there is a peace that transcends all of our own understanding that they can find in you alone. And so I pray courage over all of us this week, God, that we would have the courage to use our words in our communities, in our workplaces, on our sports teams, in our schools, to invite somebody to hear about the grace that is just too good to keep quiet about. And Lord, I thank you for Jesus. God, I thank you personally that he has changed my life. I thank you for the ways that he has changed the lives of so many people in this room. I thank you for the fact that he is always with us. He is in the room. He is in the conversation when we are having that invitation go out to our neighbor or our friend. So fill us with your spirit, Lord. Give us the courage to use our words this week. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.